The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza, your local grocer's freezer like Jewel Osco, Mariano's, and turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza, real pizzeria flavor in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
And the pitch, swinging a base hit into the left field corner. Both runs will score. It's a double. We're tied at two. How about that from Eloy on an 0-2 pitch?
I have no idea where that came from.
Swing and a base hit. Into center. Engel scores. Abreu is in. It's 4-2. Right-hand hitter. And he swings and pops it up. Abreu backpedaling into the outfield grass. He's got it. And the White Sox beat the Astros. They come back late. A big win to start this series.
That's right. Liam Hendricks, the save, the eighth inning rally, the fan tip to Tony, which Tony denies, by the way. I'll play you the sound here. Jesse's going to join us at 5:30. It's Cease against Verlander tonight. Ben has a good tweet, too, bringing in the other team in town. He says, Ben says, I'm still very upset by the Cubs, who could have had both Cease and Verlander right now if they played their cards right. But that's baseball. They were very close and wanted, and Verlander wanted to come here in 17 when he was still with the Tigers, but instead went to Houston. He had a 5 ERA, and the Cubs didn't pull the trigger.
How far along did that, like, Theo was interested. How far along did that advance?
Not sure. Cap would know more. I think he's talked a lot about that. But I think they were very serious about it. It was a big rumor, and instead they ended up going with Quintana, then eventually Darvish. And the Quintana deal is what brought over Cease. And now these two guys are the top two Cy Young candidates in the American League, and they're going head-to-head tonight on the South Side. It's going to be a beautiful night.
I hope,
should be a loud, boisterous crowd.
I hope it lives up to expectations. I hope this isn't a 7-6 slugfest or an 8-7
slugfest. But a 7-6 game would still be entertaining.
Yeah, but I'd like to see this one, you know, this be a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel.
It's not always that way. I mean, like, I remember, Tyler, what did you ask earlier? You said, are we overhyping this for a regular season game? I remember this. The anniversary of the David Bodie game from 18 just came up. What people always forget about the David Bodie game is what a masterful starting pitching matchup that was. It was Scherzer for the Nationals, who completely shut out the Cubs. And it was Cole Hamels for the Cubs when he was going really, really good. And I believe he allowed no runs, too, through like seven. And then the bullpen allowed the few runs that came in. But, like, to me, it's the marquee. It's the Chicago Theater with a big band name on that marquee. When you have two starting pitchers, it's what gets you in the door. Then I don't care if it's a pitcher's duel. I'd like to be entertained either way.
I want to see them do their thing.
Yeah, if they both strike out 10, that's going to be very exciting.
I don't want to see Patrick Mahomes come to town and watch the Chiefs run it 40 times. I want to see him light up the scoreboard.
You want to see strikeouts.
I want to see them do their thing.
Yeah, so the Sox...
Carm will be there tonight.
Yes, he will.
He'll be one of how many?
If you're, we were talking about this again. I really don't care, nor when I go to a game, to tell you the truth, I don't care how many people are there either. I'm not like making fun or anything like that. I was just surprised there were only 18,000 there last night. You were too. You were saying on yesterday's show that you thought they would sell out tonight.
I definitely think tonight would be close to a sellout, no?
So now with only 18,000 in the first one, how many? Meller was asking me the question, over, under. What are we setting the total at for tonight?
23.5.
Yeah, I think that's a great place.
I'm going over.
Me too.
Think they're going to crowd that place.
I think they're going to get about 25 tonight.
Okay, let's do this. Carm will be one of them.
Look, on a Sunday and a Saturday against the Tigers, you get 25.
I hope Carm's got his shirt off screaming at people. Angry Carm goes to the ballpark.
Why do you want his shirt off, screaming people? You want him back?
I just think it's funny. Danny, to see Carmen, if we get a video of Carmen with his shirt off screaming at people.
Danny was giving him crap again for the taking pictures and posting it in Vegas with his shirt off. I think he's
proud of his physique.
I just think if it's a good picture, if your shirt's off, your shirt's off. If your shirt's on, your shirt's on. You just put up a picture that's good. Well, who cares?
I don't care. Either way.
Danny was giving him grief.
Do you think there's a lot of people out there who actually are moved to go walk up to a Sox game based on the pitching matchup? I'm curious
I don't think
it's so much a fact that, you know, you have the White Sox and Astros. I think we've, for the most part, become a society where it's like, with all the options, you know, for entertainment, it's really hard to move people to, like, on the day of, be like, you know what? Verlander, Cease, I'm going out there, especially on a weekday if they're coming off of work. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of, like, if you're going to plan it. You know what I mean? Like, ahead of time.
I know, but Mellor, doesn't this check all the boxes?
Of course
so
it does.
So it checks the great pitching matchup box. It checks an important game box, the team that eliminated you from the postseason.
Yep. Check.
You're checking the box. You're in the middle of a pennant race.
Check.
You're checking the box that it's a beautiful night with looking out on State Street right now.
Not humid at all.
In the sky.
Check.
Perfect weather.
This is
an affordable ticket.
But you're making my case as to why I think we've become a society where we're less likely to go to a walk-up baseball game.
It's so easy, though. You don't have to walk up to the ticket office anymore, do you?
Oh, you're right. Purchase it online.
I
think you gave a scenario that would be much more appealing than a team like the Royals come to town and you've got a minor league matchup of pitchers and the weather sucks. I mean,
you're right. This should be the White Sox, you know, in terms of draw for a fan, this is like as good as it's going to get. This might be as good as it gets in a decade when you consider the matchup between Cease and Verlander.
They've made the postseason the last 2 years. They're going to try to win the division for this season. They're right there. The weather's perfect. The tickets are cheap.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's also, I do believe that, you know, you see the game as whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, you see it probably better in a lot of instances sitting on your couch. The television presentation is great. There's 81 of these compared to football where there's only 8 or 9. I get why it's a tough grab at times, but I would think that this one's got a little extra juice attached.
So what would impress you guys for a crowd tonight?
I think 25,000 people there would be a good, you know, it'd be
a
good night.
I was assuming there was 25 last night. That's why I was surprised with the 18. But what did you say, Tyler?
I said that wouldn't, like, 25,000 would impress you.
Not impress me, no.
Well considering, what the White Sox have shown you from their attendance standpoint this season,
that would be an advance on, you know, or an improvement on what they normally.
Like 30,000 is what I would say is impressive.
Oh yeah, that considering from 18 to 30 in a day, that would be an impressive jump.
Like, okay,
but
so
for a Sox fan, this is small potatoes. Who cares about this anyway?
Right.
Like, you want the team to play better.
Of course,
you want the manager to be on point.
So I'm going tonight to the game, and I gotta say, it was a struggle to try to find. Like, I tried to say, "Oh, it's Cease and Verlander," and they're like, "I don't care. They don't care."
Yeah.
Well, but how many of the people that you hang out with normally care about sports? Like
most of them, yeah.
So like if this was a Bulls game and it was
you're not hanging out with just a bunch of deadheads that walk around, you know, follow the Grateful Dead around the country.
In their minivans. What's the sweatshirt called? The drug rug.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I've never heard that.
See, like, I love the Bulls, and what gets me to even more Bulls games are the matchups. I wanted to see Ja Morant play in person. I went to go see Memphis. I wanted to see Embiid. We went to go see the 76ers.
Yeah, so we went to go see Trae Young. My friends were all in.
Yes.
Because they wanted to see Trae Young.
I've seen Trae Young multiple times. Before COVID, I took Mason to go see Doncic. Those are like, so tonight it's Verlander. It's a future Hall of Famer against your Cy Young candidate.
Listen, it's a draw for me. It's a draw for others, but I just think baseball, I don't think you're ever going to
solve. So much of a draw. Where will you be sitting tonight?
I'll be sitting at home. I mean, but like I'm interested in the game. My point is that I just don't, I don't think that baseball is ever going to be able to completely solve the problem of you know, diminishing audience size. I think that it's not a sport that appeals to a lot of the younger people. And I think you can do some things. You can speed up games. But for the most part, it is what it is, and you're just not going to be able to completely fix it.
Like, and I know some of the kids are back in school. But again, to me, when summer is here and it's nice, you do everything in your power to be outside, right? We know these days are numbered. We know it's a long winter. So baseball, even though what you just said is true, still is enjoyed on a beautiful summer night.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing more than just seeing a baseball game. You're drinking beer. You're out with your buddies. You're watching a baseball game in beautiful weather.
Yeah, but if I've got to drive 45 miles home, how many beers am I drinking? I mean, like, it's a different scenario. I get it. I get why it's not going to be, you know, consistently 35,000 people there every night. I get that. I totally do.
This is last night. This is from actually Noah Weinstein's son tweeted this out, and he'll tell you the story in the conversation we had with him. But this video has gone viral in the last 20 hours or so, ever since the end of yesterday's game. It's 2-2, and the White Sox have Aloy on second. And all of a sudden, when it looks like the at bat is about to start, Tony comes out of the dugout, calls a late timeout, and gets Adam Engel in there. And this is what happened right up until that point.
Hey, Tony! Hey, Tony, run Engel! Get Engel in there! Get Engel in there!
What the f*** is happening? Oh, he's going to pinch run.
He's getting in.
He's pinched. And he called it. And he's doing it.
What a man. Make him the manager.
Tony fell asleep.
So there was a different guy shooting the video, and the person who was on the video in the beginning, hey, Tony, run Engel. And that was a man named Noah Weinstein, who's been a lifelong Sox fan. He joined us during Crosstalk with Carmen and Peggy, so you'll hear them as well. Meller, do I have to do anything to set it up?
Nope, you introduce it. So
okay, here's Noah Weinstein from earlier. So Noah Weinstein is the name of the fan who turned to Tony.
Fan/manager.
Right, he's now the fan manager.
Let's go to the fan manager. The famager.
Noah Weinstein, who is joining us on Waddle and Sylvie and Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. Peggy is in for Yurko today. Noah, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, guys. Happy about that win. That's the most important thing.
Take us through. Noah, set this up.
Wait a minute. Can we do
Hold on.
Let's do a quick test to make sure we're not getting God here, okay, Noah?
Well, if we get God, we get God.
Noah,
dude,
tell
us.
Go
in blind. Repeat the phrase.
Yell, Tony, put an angle.
It was actually Tony. Run Engel.
Yeah, that's our guy.
You're our guy. All right, so Noah, explain to us, how did this go? Set it all up for us. What was going on? What prompted you to do this? And do you believe that you really caused Tony La Russa to pinch run him?
I'm not certain. I hope so, because I wasn't so close to him. You know, maybe there were eight people closer to him, but I kept yelling it, and I motioned for the fans who were literally right next to the dugout, tell him, just in case he couldn't hear me. And then before I knew it, there he was out on the field. So,
Noah, at any point did you hear snoring coming from the dugout?
Tom, unfortunately, as I said, I wasn't close enough.
Okay,
but,
my bad.
Listen, I'm a desperate Sox fan, lifelong Sox fan. I live and die. I watch. I'm embarrassed to say how many innings I watch, you know, per year. But they're just my love, you know,
they're your passion.
They're my passion. It's like, you know, they're my the girlfriend who I cheat on my wife with, you know?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Wow. Now here we go.
Now it's
let's,
on.
Let's so, take let's find it out in more this about direction. That girlfriend.
but no, so you're talking to someone who lives and dies with them, and, you know, I'm dissecting the game with my son, with my friends all the time. And what Tony's doing is unacceptable.
Yes.
So here I was about 10 rows back, and when Aloy got that huge hit and he's on second and I'm not seeing anything happen, I ran down there and made certain that I had my voice heard. And,
those weren't even your seats?
No, they actually weren't.
Oh.
No.
So you acted fast.
It wasn't a huge crowd, so we kind of just snuck down and no one bothered us.
It's a good thing there wasn't a huge crowd.
Let's skip over that part.
It's a good thing there wasn't a huge crowd.
Let's just skip over that
part. See, this is why I say 18,000 is fine.
This is why Noah's awesome as a fan.
Awesome.
Noah, you went into action. Like, you broke into action. You saw a lawyer. You're like, why aren't they pinch running for a lawyer? I got to get my ass down there.
I love it.
Exactly.
Sylvie, if there were 30,000 there, he never would have gotten down the steps. They would have, the security would have stopped him.
Are you kidding? You don't know me.
I don't know the whole thing.
Have you ever noticed Tony interacting at all with the crowd?
I see him sometimes after a win. He's all happy and he's calling people down. Maybe he gives them a ball. I don't know. But what's funny is I've been a fan so long. When he was managing in the 80s, and they were, you know, they were starting to struggle down the stretch in 83. And I went down there and also tried to have some words with him about his strategy. So this is not new.
This is like a 30, this is a 40-year thing going on.
Yeah, Noah, as a diehard fan, what has frustrated you most about this team this year? Has it been the lackadaisical play, base running mistakes, the managerial issues, how the team's constructed? What has been most frustrating for you so far?
I mean, certainly the managerial issues have really stood out, but even more so, Tom, has been the horrendous offense.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful. And Moncada has had my ire more than anybody. And I actually went down there and tried to give him encouragement earlier in the game after that strikeout. It was so easy to get down there right at the on deck circle, and amazing. I gave him some encouragement, and then he last hit, but he had a great swing and miss, and then he flew out deep to center. So whether that mattered or not, who knows, but it certainly didn't hurt.
If the White Sox called you to be their bench coach, would you accept the job?
100%.
From where you were, have they called you yet and said, "Hey, take a season ticket next to the dugout"? Well, from your vantage point, where you were looking, could you see Tony in the dugout, or were you just like yelling, hoping he would hear you, or could you see him?
I could see him.
You could.
I could see him. Yes.
And did he kind of like look over at you at some point?
He was running to the fire.
I love it. I love this guy.
He saw what was going to happen, and he went running to the fire.
I was already standing there, so there was time for me to get that message out there and see, you know, if he was going to look at me.
Did he look?
But truthfully, no. He did. Okay. He did not look at me. But something happened, and it worked.
Noah, were you screaming at A.J. Pollock to run look back with two outs
as
well?
That's another thing, really.
I just want to know, are you covering all the bases, Noah?
Because the throw went into second.
Yes.
He would have scored without a throw.
I texted these guys on our text chain right when it happened.
And you have no clue that throw was going to second anyway, based on the circumstances.
I don't understand. Like, everything about them, even on, like, the most glorious night of the year for them, is, like, frustrating. It's like, what is A.J. Pollock doing?
Noah.
Did he forget the outs?
Noah, what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a psychotherapist.
This is too good to be true.
You should
be managing the White Sox. Yes. There's no doubt in my mind.
Sylvie, if something comes of this where I get some chance to have a voice, I'm all in.
Mental skills coach for the White Sox, I'm telling you. Yeah.
As a fan of, like, being a fan of this team for as long as you've been a fan, and even remembering Tony's first go around here, and then knowing that, yes, we can bash him all we want, and I've done it plenty. Tony is a very decorated and accomplished person in MLB history. What was your thought a year ago, year and a half ago, when they hired him?
I didn't like it, but I can say I didn't hate it either, because I just didn't know what to expect. So I wasn't one of those people who was just going nuts about it. I thought he'd do at least a decent enough job with such great talent. And last year they won the division, so you know it wasn't so awful. But then this year has just, I mean, clearly he doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
And they're too, Reinsdorf is just too arrogant to make a change. And so now we as fans have to stand up and let our voices be heard. And I hope more people will do this.
Noah Weinstein is joining us. He's the fan who was captured in the video yelling at the White Sox dugout and Tony La Russa to pinch run Adam Engel, in which then they did. Tell us about the fame, Noah, and how this goes viral. So this wasn't your family. This was someone else shooting it, correct? And then your son tweeted it? Take us through
correct.
All that.
Correct, correct. So, you know, I'm just down there. You know, this is a business trip for me. I'm not there to have fun. I'm looking to win. And truly, you know, this is so I'm down there and I'm yelling what needed to be done. It's not a hard decision. And then, you know, we see it happen. My son comes down there and we're happy. We go back to our seats a few rows back. About 10 minutes later, a woman comes up to me and says she videoed this and she's going to send it to me. So I gave her my number. She sent it. And then my kid is very, you know, into the whole Twitter world and all the baseball accounts out there. And so as we're driving home, he's just sending it everywhere. And it went, you know, into the few hundred thousand
yes.
by the time we went to sleep. It was unbelievable.
No, you honestly, if this is the turning point that everyone's been looking for, and this is the springboard,
yeah.
and this is what leads them to reach their potential, and you get to the postseason, you get to the top of the mountain, you win the World Series, you'll be more popular or you'll be more well-known than Steve Bartman. For good yeah. reason.
Hey, for good reason.
Well, at least I'll be known in a good way.
Exactly. Right. For good reason.
Are yeah. you even a season ticket holder, or did you just
no.
get seats? You're
in
not.
In fact, that was my first game of the year because I've been so disappointed.
Wow, really?
But I am going back tonight.
You're going tonight? Good.
And what does Noah, the psychotherapist, tell Noah, the disappointed Sox fan?
Oh, that's good,
Pat. Oh, my God. Just, you know, deep breaths. Just keep hanging in there. And fortunately for baseball, there's always tomorrow.
Drink
a lot of meditation.
And a lot of wine.
Give us your fan credentials, Noah. Like you said, you for many, many years, how did you become a Sox fan? Where are you from? Give us the lowdown here.
You know, I grew up in Highland Park. I'm not sure why I chose the Sox over the Cubs, but that's just what happened from, you know, eight, 9 years old. Just been a diehard, played the game, you know, growing up, and it's always been my favorite game. And as you guys know, it's been so much disappointment. We had 83, we had, you know, what was it, 93, and then finally that World Series was beyond belief. But just, I've been there all the way. I'm one of those people. And don't have, unfortunately, that's my passion. So fortunately, but maybe unfortunately in certain ways, but it's just my passion. I can't help it. You guys know what that feels like.
I know. Of course.
If
As
you
were
a Sox fan, I know.
Carmen, you know.
I know.
Yeah,
I know it.
If you were a Bears fan, Matt Nagy still may be in with
Believe
a job
me.
If you were in the front
yes,
row. You
I
could be counseling him.
I, you know, so they all hear it too.
How many text messages have you gotten to go on shows and different things?
So far, it's just been you guys and the people down the dial, but it's been, you know, all these sites, like, all around the country that are playing this video. It's been unbelievable.
I love it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, Noah, keep up the great work. Keep on cheering them. Keep on listening to ESPN 1000 for the home team call here with Len. And
keep counseling the manager when you get a chance.
We should do a weekly segment with you. You should call back next week during Crosstalk, and then we'll find out how you feel about the team.
You know what, Sylvie? If they're doing bad, I'm really not even going to want to talk, but maybe I will. Let's just hope that they keep hanging in there. And to all the Sox fans, you know, not that you got to go down to the dugout, but just you know, we need changes.
Yes, God, Noah, you are. Well, you're obviously a healthy person because you're what you do for a living. Maybe you are centered. Your attitude about all this is like it's perfect. It's spot on. You're centered. You're put together. I'm very impressed. And you saved the day last night. Good work,
man. Yeah, because like if this was Sylvie yelling at Joe Madden, he would have been in his neck. Noah handled it like a professional.
I love it. I love it.
Noah, great stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Take care.
See you, Noah. That was phenomenal.
Noah centered, Sylvie not. That's what you guys were saying.
That's
there
the
at
conclusion?
The yeah.
Noah very centered, Sylvie not. Joe, what the?
What are you doing? Stay with Hendricks. He's rolling. Why are you bringing in Lester in a dirty inning? Don't go to Chapman now. It's too early. Noah Weinstein. Good stuff. That was the fan yesterday. I told Tony. And Tony's denied it. We'll get the report coming from the South Side and a preview of Cease and Verlander with Jesse next.
At HawkAuto.com, they've got cars, they've got trucks, vans, and SUVs, and you can choose from new Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, Volkswagen, Nissan, and Wagoneer models, and a huge selection of pre-owned and certified pre-owned vehicles. They got them in stock and ready to drive home today. Save with 0% APR for 60 months, and no one will pay you more for your trade-in. Find your next car at HawkAuto.com. Drive what I drive. Drive a Hawk. On select models, $1,667 per month per $1,000 financed with approved credit.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Trying to sing a while?
Who is this? We've gone old school music with our music bumpers recently.
Are these new? Was this? Is this one not been in there?
I haven't.
This is like from the mid 80s, isn't it? Some of those teen movies, right?
I think so. Got a little Pretty in Pink feel to it.
Nothing pretty on the South Side. Everything's been hard, but they've been playing better.
For
the record, and not just someone sent me the stat that over the last 3 weeks they have the best record in the American League, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like they've won four in a row. They're up to four games above 500 for the first time in a while. Jesse Rogers may have that exact stat as he joins us right now from Guaranteed Rate Field. What is over the last 3 weeks? Do you have that in front of you, Jesse? What the Sox record is?
You know, they're 12-8 over their last 20. That's about 3 weeks. They're 12-8, so that's decent. But again, that also entailed 19 straight against minus 500 teams.
Sure.
That's why winning last night and beating this team a couple times will be huge to sort of make up for not destroying those minus 500 teams. So that was a big one last night. We'll see what happens the rest of the series. And, you know, the thing about this, guys, I mean, tiebreakers may come into play. I know we're far from it. But remember, there's no game 163 this year. It's head-to-head.
Which is
and right now they're behind the eight ball with Minnesota and Cleveland. But plenty of time to talk about that. They're still trailing by two games. But, yeah, real nice win last night.
Here's Tyler's got the stat. They're 19-11 over their last 30. That's good baseball. I mean, they haven't played. Like, when you watch them every night, they still drive you crazy. But 19-11 over, if they would have played at that pace for most of the year, they'd be in a much different position than they are now.
Yeah, they started out like 4 or 5 under, right? And then they go 19-11, and they're at 4 over now. So this is definitely trending in the right direction for sure. But like you said, it almost feels like it's teetering, right? It's never feels great. If they win this series, though, it'll start to feel great. I thought even a split would start to feel good. So we'll see. And then, of course, it's Cleveland right after this. So the beauty of 162 is you really do find out what you're made of, how good you are. And, you know, so far it hasn't been great, but it's at least trending a little bit better.
Just as another fan get to play associate manager tonight?
I am sitting in Noah was the guy, right?
Right.
I'm sitting in his seat approximately just to gauge right now in the stands. I'm sitting him right now just to gauge the distance. I don't think there's any doubt he heard him. Now, maybe he heard noise, but he heard him because Tony has talked about interacting with fans before in game. Like he has had coaches kind of turn to the fans and do an "I told you so." Remember that a month or two ago? Like they made a move and it worked, and one of the coaches turned and said, "I told you so," kind of half kidding, kind of half serious. I think he heard him. Now, here's the thing: his excuse was plausible, or his reasoning was plausible, debating whether to pull Eloy or not. And he even mentioned that he asked Jerry Neron and Miguel Cairo's. That might be the headline, that he actually turned to his coaches and asked them for some advice. Maybe he heard the fan as well. So it's hard to know what impacted his decision, but it is plausible that he waited the last minute deciding whether to pull Eloy's bat from the game, since they could go to extras and all that stuff.
Do you believe Tony when he says that he didn't know anything about this video until he met the media? Because wouldn't PR at least tell him, give him a heads up on, hey, you went viral last night?
Yeah, you would think they would. If he did know, he faked it pretty good, like body language and everything. Like he acted pretty ignorant about it, and then you heard the comments that kind of fit what he was talking about. So I don't know what the real story is. All I know is it was an entertaining day listening, driving down here, hearing the guy during crosstalk. I mean, it's great fodder, and it's part of the lore, the whole thing with this manager, the fact that we're even debating this. But I think he heard him. He had to have heard him. I'm sitting, it's not that far, there's not that many people, and he's heard them yelling in the past. So that part, I think he's not exactly telling the truth. I think he did hear him.
Jess, big picture. Last night was the biggest win of the year, all things considered. There's no doubt how it went down. What do you think goes on from here? Is it a jumping off point on a positive front? Are we going to look back at this, say, just another one of those moments in a otherwise frustrating White Sox season? Does this propel them?
I think you guys would agree with me on this. I think the moment we could look back on is Saturday in the seventh inning when Jose Abreu, of all people, tags up from first base, gets to second on a fly ball to center, and then scores the winning run on a Vaughn single up the middle. To me, that's more important than anything a manager could say. When Jose Abreu is tagging up from first, he's not fast. There's no reason for him to have done that. It was deep, but you know, if it goes off the wall, he's not scoring if he's standing on first. It was a smart play. It was a hustle play. To me, that's the one we look back on. Now, yes, last night, 0-2 pitch to Eloy, pulls it down the line, the first game-tying RBI out of him in the eighth inning or later of his career. That's the bigger game because of the opponent, so I know how that is. But I'm telling you, I feel like that Abreu move is the one that signals to the rest of this team, look, I'm going to hustle. I'm going to make the smart play. It's about time the rest of you do it. I can't overstate how big I thought that was, at least. And I know the people around the team thought that as well. But so add that to last night, and maybe there is something brewing here. You know, I have my doubts. I think there's only so much this lineup can do. And I loved hearing Noah when you asked him, what's your biggest complaint? It is the offense. It is the lineup. It is such a grind just to get to four runs. Granted, this is a good pitching staff for Houston, but we've seen them barely get to four or five against the Detroits of the world. And so I do think they are limited, but maybe they can grind their way to the top and win this thing.
Because when the window first opened for this team, Jesse, we always thought, hey, they got bats and bats and bats. They would always slug their ways to win. We didn't know if they had themselves a playoff rotation. Now all of a sudden you have Dylan Cease doing stuff that Jake Arrieta was doing. You've got Johnny Cueto again looking like prime Johnny Cueto. You still have guys like Lynn and Giolito and Kopech, who's been really good the last two out of three starts. You've got a good starting rotation if this team would get a little more consistent doing the other stuff.
Yeah, I thought mid-season we talked about it. This was the path. The starting rotation was the path to the title or division title, not the lineup. I think the lineup is still going to be up and down, especially against the tough righties. They did get to Verlander down in Houston. That's huge. But it's going to be unpredictable because it has been unpredictable. But those five names, if they get it going, absolutely. Man, Cueto's been great. Giolito shows flashes. He should be better if he can get past his first innings. Lynn is the guy is kind of like the five right now, to be honest. But he's had some moments that are better. Yeah, there's no doubt that's the path. If you look at resume and stuff, those five starters are better than what certainly Minnesota can throw out there. And I think even Cleveland, even though Cleveland pitches well, that's a better starting staff here in Chicago than Cleveland. But they've got to do it. They've got to do it more than just a couple times through the rotation.
Anything else, Jesse?
Couple things. Okay, Luis Robert is still out with this wrist problem. Could pinch hit tonight, but I don't know if he's ready to start even tomorrow, but maybe by the weekend. They're not going to IL him, So it all depends on how he feels. The wrist injury, maybe he can get one swing in tonight or tomorrow as a pinch hitter. I saw Tim Anderson, okay? Today was picture day. Hadn't seen him before today, so everybody had to show up for picture day. Bandaged up the left wrist. But I talked to him briefly, and he made it sound like when that bandage comes off next week, he thinks he's going to move quickly to coming back. He's not necessarily saying, early to mid-September, but maybe sooner than late September. Let's put it that way. Tony emphasized that he is a quick healer, so it was good to see him. It was good to hear him sort of give me a positive vibe about coming back early. Finally, Verlander versus Cease. Talking to players on both sides, everyone's excited about this. I thought Dusty was interesting, asking him what he's telling his players about Cease. He's like, take a two-strike approach right away. Take a two-strike approach. Don't try to go deep. Just try to get a base hit, try to make contact. Talking to the White Sox players, what Verlander does, and this makes sense for a guy with as much experience as he has, is he attacks weaknesses. Even a weakness he finds that day, that at bat, if you're missing his high fastball, he's going to keep doing that. Where Cease, we know, is just going to throw that slider all day long. He doesn't care what your weakness is. If he's going to make you hit it. And so far, nobody's hit it. So it's contrasting styles. I'm going to sit in Noah's seats. I'm going to watch this from down low. And maybe I'll yell a few pointers to Tony. We'll see. But should be great.
Jesse, Waddle asked earlier in the show, how close was Verlander to becoming a Cub in 17?
So this is the real story. I mean, not that close because the Cubs misjudged his health. They thought he wasn't going to be healthy. They thought they'd have it. Now, eventually, he did go down with Tommy John, but it was 2 years later. So they missed that opportunity to bring him in during when their window was open. So not that close because they didn't think he was going to be healthy. If they thought he was going to be healthy, they had a great shot at him. They would have had a great shot at him, in my opinion.
Yeah. Good stuff, Jesse. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys. Take care. See
you. There you go. He's sitting from Noah's seat, or the seat that Noah took over. Jesse Rogers brought to you, as always, by your local Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. We'll talk to Black and Abdallah before their show coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special that includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
So Abdallah check in with the Twitch crew. Remember, Twitch brought to you this week by Chicagoland Midas franchisees. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I didn't know until today when you told me. We talked about Jesse, too, a little bit in the pre-show fistfight and the Dusty Baker interview. Jesse asked him how the COVID was.
Yeah, like, it was weird because, you know, Carmen starts the interview, and he was like, hey, so, you know, what's it like to be the manager of the best team in baseball? Is this the best team you've ever had? Like, you've been the manager of a lot of great teams. And Jesse goes, hey there, buddy, how was COVID?
And
he, like, he was like, it was fun. Like, it was this long answer because he had COVID a while ago. And we're like, what?
Last week. I think it was last week.
You guys know how it is.
We've all had COVID.
You land a guest, but you're about to go to break. So now you're pushing the commercial breaks. You have limited time. And Jesse comes out with a COVID question as if Dusty Baker's the only person who has experienced going through COVID.
And then he's mad at me for getting on him about it.
Jesse, rightfully so, Abdallah gets to say that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Listen, if we get Dylan Cease tomorrow, you better not ask him about COVID.
No, they better not play
ask
Toronto,
about the
right?
Mustache. We've asked about the mustache.
Oh, that's
before.
Right. Cease can't go to Toronto. That's right.
At least at last check, he's not vaccinated.
Yeah, so well, if they make the playoffs and they go to Toronto, you better get a shot.
Right.
I mean, are they making the playoffs?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, we were all wrong about him yesterday.
You didn't get the four innings. You got the one inning. You got the eighth inning.
Hey, listen, it was the best game of the season last night. So you can't complain about that. They best showed outcome. Up. The offense was there. That rally was awesome in the eighth. Johnny Cueto was incredible. And now tonight you have your ace on the mound. Yeah. So guess what? You're at home. You win the first game. have Cease go out there, give you another solid 7 or 8, lock this down, and go up 2-0 in this series. Come on.
Let's do this.
I told you guys yesterday I wasn't worried about the pitching. It was the offense. And going into the eighth inning,
that was an L.
Absolutely.
Speaking of managerial problems or issues, I was saying to these guys, I was surprised Dusty replaced his manager. He had been good against Vaughn. Struck him out twice. Mm-hmm. His pitcher. Yeah. What did I say? His manager? Yeah. His pitcher. Like, he had Vaughn's number. And Dusty comes out of the dugout and decided to make a pitching change.
Right.
Thank you, Dusty.
Usually Dusty sticks with his pitcher too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'd only thrown 94 pitches, too.
Yep.
And I know people have talked about it. I know Connor's talked about it. I know Mellor's talked about it. I mean, Andrew Vaughn has been incredible this year.
He's great. He hits.
And he showed up big. Eloy showed up with a big hit. We were talking last week with Connor about exit velo and why it matters. Waddle, I know you like exit velo.
Who doesn't?
You know where it matters? A ground ball towards third, but it's hit really hard, so it gets through, and now you get some runs in. So yeah. I mean,
for home runs, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm with you on that. It's like, okay, I get it. It went out fast. Like, it's going out slower, it's going out fast,
listen,
it's still going out.
I don't have anything. My only beef with the exit velo was, yeah, I know he hit it hard. I know the guys who hit the ball hard. Right. Vaughn hits the ball hard.
Yeah.
You don't need to give me the stopwatch on it. Yeah, he hits the ball really hard. Like, that's only been my guess. Oh, my God, look at the exit velo on that. I will tell you this, on the other side of that, Johnny Cueto induces some of the softest contact in all of baseball.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
5 pop-outs to the infield last night.
Oh, I love that.
It's unbelievable. Isn't that great? He's not an overpowering guy either.
No.
I mean, he may dust the gun at 94 at sometimes.
Keeps you on the toes with the shimmies, though.
It's been unbelievable.
The shaking.
Been unbelievable. This is like old school Johnny Cueto. You got to go back to the Cincinnati years. Like, sure. Won like what? Like 18, 19 games?
He worked out
games?
Of some jams yesterday, too.
He did. Good. He always does. San Francisco, he was good.
He had a good year at one time. But
he scared the hell out of me in 16.
Yeah.
I mean, remember he was going to go in game 5 if they lost game 4. And I think the only time they got him in game 1 when they faced Cueto in 16 was that Javi home run that just ended up in the first row, and I think they beat him 1-0.
He didn't hit that off a bounce, did he, off the ground?
No
he didn't.
Did you guys see that highlight?
So we were at the game on Friday, and every at-bat and every time he made a defensive play, fans were booing Javi Baez.
And he loves it.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, I get he was a Cub, but... I mean, he didn't.
I was there Sunday.
It's not like he was a twin. Or
I think booing is just contagious. I think once it starts, I think everyone feel like you have to join
time.
In.
Yeah.
Well, he's recognizable. He's someone from this town. It's easy. It's an easy boo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like LeBron, booing is contagious.
Yeah,
too.
But LeBron, but
it's an easy boo. It's like, yeah, but for White Sox,
it's good
fans,
lazy boo.
That Cubs team is very annoying.
It's a good lazy boo. Yeah.
So all of the hype that we all had to live with for 4 years with the Cubs as they were rising and then winning and then struggling.
El Mago.
Yeah.
El Mago talk. Look at him slide. Look at him tag.
It's a very easy boo.
Look at him get on base 23% of the time.
And Sylvie, would you lay off on the attendance situation?
It's,
I mean,
I'm
your team's 20
out.
Games under. Worry about your ball club.
I know, and I acknowledge that. All I was saying was I was surprised we only got 18,000.
I was surprised.
It was Wilbon who texted us at 1:21 a.m.
Of course Wilbon did. Of course
Jesse
he did.
Texted me, too. He says they're hoping for 25,000 tonight.
Okay.
All right.
I really don't care either way.
Wilbon's text was the Soldier Field turf is fine, and they don't get many people at the ballpark on the south side.
Mike tweeted a bunch of us, and he asked us, should I go to the game tonight?
Yeah, you should go to the game.
We responded, yes, go to the game.
Is Cascade playing again tonight?
No, hey, he's not playing tonight. That was Friday night.
Make fun.
Awesome.
They haven't lost since
fun.
Cascade
it was
played.
Awesome.
I'm just saying.
Right?
They haven't lost since Cascade played and since Bleck and I were there.
Come on. Let's go, Waddle.
We sparked it.
I'm going home.
Wait for them. They're off at 6:30. You guys take the owl.
They're not going to the game.
I'll go if you drive.
If you go, we'll go.
If I drive.
Yeah, you can drive.
You gotta go.
We'll go if you go.
I'll go.
Tyler, we got some gear upstairs for
Tyler,
you.
I'm already going.
What do you mean you have gear?
Tyler's in. Come on. Drive us.
How about this? I'll meet you guys there. No, that's...
I'll meet you guys there.
That's a move that I would pull,
I'll meet
and
you
I never
there.
Show.
Come on. Listen, I got to catch first pitch. You guys don't even get off the air until 6:30.
We'll get there. Trust me, we'll make it.
I'll meet you there. We've done it.
Gato. I'll meet you at Gato.
We got to do this. We've talked about this before with Soldier. Tomorrow, Gato. We got to have Waddle get in his car without a GPS and see if he can drive to Guaranteed Rate Field.
From here, if he could even get himself there, easy. I could get there without taking the highway.
Yeah, without taking the highway. Well, I don't know about
the
that.
Back way?
I
don't
think. Anyway, I mean, what would you do?
To get to the highway?
No, no. We're at State Lake. How would you go without GPS to get to Guaranteed Rate?
I would go up to Wacker, take a left, probably take a right on. I know what street it is. I don't know the name of it. Then go south on 94 and get off at 35th.
Yeah, see, that's easy. That's following the signs.
Yeah,
no, it's easy. Back roads, no highway.
Take the back way, the quick way.
Couldn't do that. No
canal,
chance.
Baby. Canal.
No chance.
Yeah, canal. We can tell you. Come on, drive us.
I'll meet you there.
Oh, just show up.
Have faith in me. I will meet you there.
This is cool.
Waddle's going to sit in with Black and Abdallah. Then they're all going to the game with Tyler. So this should be fine.
I will meet you guys there.
Thank you to Courtney Cronin, Jesse Rogers, and Barstool Big Cat. Great work by Jeff Meller and Tyler Aki. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
He better stay out of our business. He better stay out of White Sox business.